presented by the Common Sense Institute. Welcome to Common Sense Digest, the podcast that seeks to inject a little common sense into Colorado's policy discussion. Here's your host, Earl Wright.
Welcome to the Common Sense Digest podcast. My name is Earl Wright, and I am the chairman of the Common Sense Institute and your host today. In January, CSI launched a new chapter in Iowa, led by Iowans and focused on Iowa issues. We've hit the ground running with several reports on jobs, inflation, and Iowa's economy. Our most recent report, and the focus of today's conversation, is Clarkodomics, the impact of Caitlin Clark and Hawkeye women's basketball on Iowa's economy, with Director of Policy and Research and the author of this report, Ben Murray. Let's get started, Ben. Caitlin Clark has become a household name in Iowa, and frankly, I think nationally, for any family that's involved in athletics, and has risen to national fame. You have to ask, Ben, help us out. Who is Caitlin Clark?
Well, great question, and I don't know a lot of people at this point who don't know who she is. Just in case there are some listening, you know, Caitlin Clark is a University of Iowa women's basketball player, and she has just absolutely rocked the NCAA this year, last year. She's a senior now, so it's her last year, but she has broken, gosh, just about every record. She's been given just about every award. I'll go over a few of them. So she was University of Iowa and Big Ten all-time leader in scoring and assists. She has made the most three-pointers in a single season, surpassing the previous record holder. You'll never guess who it was, Earl. Who do you think the previous record holder was for all-time three-pointers in a season?
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry, and she surpassed Steph Curry this season. And then she's now the all-time leading scorer for the NCAA ever, which is kind of the big news. I mean, that was a huge one. Not only did she surpass the all-time leading score for women, but also for men this year. And she is three-time now Big Ten Player of the Year. I mean, you could just go on and on. This lady is absolutely amazing. And we found that not only has she been amazing for Iowa basketball, but she's also been great for Iowa's economy.
Not many people know about it. Most of them think that I'm, because of my college career, that I'm a native Nebraskan, but I'm not. I'm a native Iowan, and I'm a former collegiate athlete at Nebraska. I can tell you a few things about college sports at Iowa and sports at Iowa because my father was also a coach and the superintendent of schools for a small consolidated school district in Iowa, and I remember as a young man hanging around the bleachers at the small gyms they had at these small schools. And my first memory of basketball was Gary Thompson, who is a legend in Iowa, from Roland, Iowa, and known as the Roland Rocket. And I remember watching Gary play in a game where I couldn't believe some of the things he did, only to be duplicated by what I see of Caitlin Clark. I have a friend who played college basketball, and we used to joke that there wasn't any shot beyond half court that he wasn't willing to take. The difference with Caitlin is there isn't any shot beyond half court that she can't make. And this lady is absolutely phenomenal as far as I'm concerned, and a terrific young person. And it's one of those things where you have to think about Iowa and basketball and knowing a little bit about Iowa's girls teams, because my father coached Iowa girls teams, and I had a chance to hear some of my father's stories and the competition. It's a real sport in Iowa, and Iowans love it. Help me out a little bit. Give me some more about Caitlin becoming a household name, and why in the world are you doing this study?
Well, you know, Caitlin Clark is such a star in Iowa, and she has been since, you know, earlier in her college career. She's obviously just rocketed to national fame, especially since last year. The Iowa women's basketball team was in the NCAA final last year. They didn't win, unfortunately. But, you know, she's really gotten a lot of a national attention. And they've coined this term called the Caitlin Clark effect. And what is the Caitlin Clark effect? It's the increase in excitement and attendance at these Iowa basketball games, these Iowa women's basketball games. I mean, you know, historically, as we all know, people tend to pay more attention to men's basketball than women's basketball. But gosh, I don't know that that's the case right now. I think that, you know, even outside of Iowa, I think because of Caitlin Clark, there's probably as much excitement or more around the NCAA women's tournament than the men's tournament. And, you know, that's the Caitlin Clark effect. That's the effect we've been seeing because of this just amazing player. And it's not like, you know, there's some superficial reason why people are all of a sudden paying attention and getting excited. I mean, she has earned it on the court. To watch this lady play is just exciting. I mean, she makes logo shots all day long. She's from the center court making three pointers far outside the 3-point line, you know, and, you know, making them at the buzzer and all these exciting things that you just want to see when you're a basketball fan. And, you know, what we thought to ourselves, we said, well, gosh, the media is really loving this. The media, I mean, you could go Google it right now and you would see 100, you know, 200, 300, who knows how many articles on Caitlin Clark. And not just on her basketball career and what she's done as a player. Obviously, you know, ESPN and all the sports networks and papers have published on her career as an athlete. But you see news outlets all the way from Forbes to USA Today, you know, talking about all kinds of different aspects. So we noticed that, you know, she's gotten obviously a ton of brand deals, NIL deals. She's got a lot more coverage from various streaming services and outlets. Peacock launched a Clark stream or something. I forget what they called it. You know, so you have this interest, and that's obviously generating economic activity. But we realized a lot of what's being reported in terms of the impact she's having on the economy and on, you know, sort of from the numbers and economies perspective, a lot of it's anecdotal. A lot of what was being reported by the media is, okay, great, she's gotten $3 million in NIL brand deals. Okay, but what does that mean for the economy? What does that mean for, like, if I'm an Iowan, why should I care? You know, or she's landed this billboard in Times Square. Okay, great, but that's in Times Square. What does that mean for Iowa? CSI Iowa is focused on Iowa issues. You said that in the beginning of the podcast. We care about how our different, you know, mostly we're looking at public policies, but, you know, how are various factors that impact the economy, how is that helping Iowans? How is it helping everyday people here in the state? We look at things from an Iowa-centric perspective. And nobody had actually looked at the Caitlin Clark effect from an Iowa-centric economic perspective. What does this mean for Iowa's economy? So we wanted to answer that question.
I understand that. But, you know, you could take, something that's not very appealing, and you could promote it. And, you know, it's kind of like, okay, fine, but it's not appealing. Caitlin's different. Yeah, she's a terrific athlete, but, you know, she's a fine young person. She's come from a family where she's the middle child with an older brother and a younger brother. You know, she claims she beats on her younger brother just to kind of keep him in line, but I don't believe that. But the nice thing about it, it's a very wholesome family too, where it just represents Iowa. You've got a pretty good, individual to kind of profile here to say, what is the economic impact? And what did you find the economic impact to be for Iowa and maybe for others? Share that with us.
Yeah, so great question. Kind of getting right down to brass tacks here, right? I mean, what are the numbers? What we found is that Caitlin Clark drove a lot of attendance to games in Iowa. So that meant, you know, more Iowans going out and spending money into the economy because they wanted to see Caitlin Clark play. But it also meant more people bringing money from outside of Iowa, non-Iowans coming into Iowa because they wanted to see Caitlin Clark play. And that's a big boost to the economy. So what we found is an $82.5 million increase in consumer spending attributable to the Caitlin Clark effect since her sophomore year.
$82.5 million. The success of one athlete in a small state
that's right.
Less than 4 million people, 4.5 million people?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's incredible. And look, this is only 3 years. We didn't even include her freshman year in the study because her freshman year, think about it, 2020-2021 season, it was the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. She was playing in empty arenas, right? So she didn't even we didn't even include her freshman year. This is just over 3 years of her college career. And now what does that mean for the economy, right? So $82.5 million in new consumer spending attributable to the Clark effect. What does that mean for the economy? It depends. It depends on how you translate that consumer spending into economic growth. And this is what we do with our economic modeling. And we came up with two scenarios, but the range there is between $14 and $52 million in economic growth, in GDP growth to the state of Iowa because of the Caitlin Clark effect.
Well, you know, I'm in the world of finance, and Ben, if I could get some kind of, incremental growth like that, you know, I would think maybe we ought to make her an IPO and go public and have some kind of a chance to, have some appreciation and having her be a public entity. But she is, I guess. And I guess that Iowa, to a large extent, got the benefit of that growth. I think it's remarkable that something like that could happen with these numbers. Give me some more information about how you put the numbers together and what you can share with us as to that impact and what's behind the numbers.
I will admit it was a challenge to figure out how to approach this, because the truth of the matter is her real economic impact is far greater than what we say in this report. But you have to understand, economic impact in many regards is hard to quantify, right? So let's take, for example, the $3.1 million in brand deals. You know, is that an economic impact for the state of Iowa? Well, maybe, but it kind of requires Caitlin Clark spending some of that money into Iowa's economy, right? So she's $3.1 million richer, great. But unless she turns around today and spends it into the economy, it's not growing Iowa's economy today. Right. Or look at a lot of free media she's gotten, you know, advertisers and folks who want to have Clark on their billboard or this or that. How do you quantify that? Well, you know, let's take the billboard in Times Square. It's a big deal, but it's in Times Square. That's probably having more of an impact on New York's economy somehow, or whatever advertiser did that. I think it was Nike. You know, well, Nike's not based in Iowa, so is that really much of an economic impact for Iowa? So we have these challenges. How do you measure the impact? How do you isolate the impact to Iowa? And here's what we decided to do. And frankly, by the way, some economic impact is not really quantifiable. What about the youth in Iowa who maybe was headed on the wrong path? Maybe they were kind of getting involved in some bad stuff, but they watch Caitlin Clark and they're inspired. And they end up pursuing a career, or they end up pursuing basketball. They end up pursuing athletics, and it keeps them out of trouble. And they, you know, 20 years from now, they'll be a productive member of society rather than being in jail. Like, that's an economic impact, right? But you can't quantify that. Sure. And I'm sure she's had those kinds of impacts. What we did is we said, okay, what impact has she had, and how do we isolate it to Iowa? And we decided to start with attendance, and not just attendance at home games in Iowa City, but any game she played within the state of Iowa. So she played some away games, the Hawkeyes women's basketball team, maybe in Ames when they played against Iowa State, or, you know, in Cedar Falls, or we took all the games that she played within the state of Iowa. And we looked at before she started playing, the season before she started playing. And actually, we ended up going with the last season that wasn't affected by the pandemic, which was the 2018-2019 season. How many people attended all of the games within the state of Iowa where she played? Now let's go to her sophomore year, her junior year, her senior year. How many more people were attending those years versus our baseline year?
Well, so you only took 3 years out of her 4-year career.
Right, because her freshman year she was playing to empty arenas. It was COVID.
So what I hear being said here is that if she had had 4 years without COVID, the economic impact, in all likelihood, could be even more significant.
Oh, it almost certainly would have been greater, right? I mean, I guess you could say this is one of the another fallout of having to shut down the economy during COVID, right? It's unfortunate, but we didn't include that COVID year in our economic impact because we felt like, you know, you wouldn't get a lot out of that when nobody
sure.
was in the state.
Yeah.
So what we did is we said, okay, what is the difference? What is the delta between our baseline? How many people were attending before her? Versus how many more people were attending when she started playing. And what we found is attendance grew from about 125, and it grew gradually. It was more her sophomore year, even more her junior year. It was through the roof her senior year. She sold out every game she played at her senior year. It grew from before she started playing, 125,000 people came to watch the Hawkeyes play somewhere within the state of Iowa before she was playing. By her senior year, almost 350,000 people came to watch Hawkeyes play. That's almost a threefold increase. That's 178% increase that we saw because of her, right? So that extra, you know, 225,000, let me see if I'm doing my head math here. That extra 225,000 people who are now watching her play are going out and spending money into the economy. We also saw that the number of people, the percentage of the people that are coming to see Hawkeyes games from out of state increased. So there's much more interest now in Hawkeyes basketball from people who aren't Iowans. But what does that mean? That's an even bigger economic impact when you're bringing money from outside of the state and putting it into Iowa's economy, right? That gives you even more of an economic boost. So what we did is we looked at, okay, well, you've got all these new people coming and attending these games and spending money. What is the average consumer spending for a typical game attendee? And we got those estimates from the Visitor Bureau in Iowa City. Think Iowa City. They helped us gather some of these estimates for consumer spending, typical consumer spending patterns. And that's how we came up with the $82.5 million. Now, how did we come up with $14 to $52 million in GDP growth? Well, that's where our dynamic modeling comes in. In the first scenario, $14 million, we assumed that, look, all the people coming from out of state are bringing new money into the economy. So that's a bigger economic impact. The question is, how many people who are coming from within the state of Iowa, how many of them are just reallocating dollars they would have spent within Iowa anyways? Or to what extent are all those people from Iowa who are going to the games, to what extent are they spending new money they wouldn't have otherwise spent? So if you assume on the low end that all the spending by Iowans was money they would have otherwise spent in Iowa anyways, then that's the 14 million. But if you assume all the money spent by Iowans is new money they wouldn't have spent anyways within the state of Iowa, then that's how you get to the 52 million. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle. Probably she did cause Iowans to spend more money into the economy that they would have otherwise maybe used to take a trip to Hawaii or do something different, maybe take that money out of the economy or not spend it at all. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle between that 14 and 52 million. Does that make sense? I know it gets kind of wonky, Earl, but.
No, it does. And let me kind of make certain I understand it. What I heard you say is that, and I'm just pretending I'm one of the people listening to the podcast, you know, maybe I reached into my savings and I spent money I didn't intend to spend before because I wanted to go see this phenomenal young person play and see the records be set. And as a result, I spent money that I just normally wouldn't have spent, and I would be saving less maybe. Well, that's the $52 million you're talking about to the economic impact. Not everybody did that, of course. But then not everybody said, I'm not going to go to McDonald's, I'm going to go watch the game. Not everybody said that they weren't going to go to a movie, I'm going to go to the game. So as you said, we don't know what it is. We just know there's a range. And the range of impact is between $14 and $52 million. And you're just being honest with us, Ben, and I appreciate that. But help us out a little bit more, if you would. What does $82 million for spending mean to the state of Iowa? Well, just what does it mean to the state of Iowa? Give us some comparisons for all of us listening.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know that I can exactly comprehend what $52 million means. So to put that in perspective, again, we talked about that range, $14 to $52 million. So that's like purchasing between 1,400 and 5,200 acres of cropland in Iowa. Or it's like paying tuition for a year at the University of Iowa for between 1,300 and 4,800 students. It would buy every Iowan a ticket to the state fair, for example. In fact, it would leave some money left over for concessions or funnel cakes or whatever. But it would buy every Iowan. Now, of course, not every Iowan goes to the state fair. It's about a million people a year who actually go to the state fair. So another way to look at it would be to say every fairgoer could buy between 1 and 4 funnel cakes with the added economic output that was created in Iowa because of Caitlin Clark. So, I mean, just imagine buying everybody in Iowa, every single Iowan, man, woman, and child, free entrance to the state fair. That is the added value of the economy because of Caitlin Clark. There are a lot of ways you could look at it. This Iowa Stanley Museum of Art that was opened a couple years ago on campus, that was about a $50 million project. The added value because of Caitlin Clark could have paid for that entire museum.
Well, this in effect, going back to what that GDP growth means to Iowans is what you in effect answered, that 14 to 52 million. I look at that and it's remarkable that one young lady can have that impact, but I think it goes to the American spirit that, hey, we love to see somebody that can excel and love to see a team that benefits it. And we love competition. but we also love good sportsmanship, and she certainly represents that. And the Iowa Hawkeyes always represent that when they go out onto the sports field or the gymnasium. It's always a pleasure to see.
It's a lot of fun. You know, Earl, I got to say, I am not the basketball expert that you are. And I know you mentioned that you played in Nebraska. For this last little bit, I want to flip the script here. And maybe I'll interview you a little bit, because, you know, I'm the nerd. I'm the economics guy. I'm the data guy. But I'm not the basketball expert that you are. So I want to see if I can ask you a few questions, if that's okay.
Sure, go ahead.
So I'm really curious. You played in Nebraska. Now, around what time were you playing in Nebraska?
61 to 65. I played.
Wow. Okay.
That period of time.
It was the best period of time. Now, wasn't that when, who was the former record holder, all-time scoring record holder for, before Caitlin Clark? Pistol Pete?
Maravich, sure. I mean, my gosh, that guy was unbelievable. He could, he also loved to shoot from anywhere. But Pistol Pete Maravich, yep.
People love to compare the two. Were you playing at the same time he was? It was around that same time.
Well, he was a little bit after me. I played when Kazzie Russell was at Michigan, and went up and played against Kazzie Russell. He was remarkable. And so when you first saw him, you thought, really? He's a basketball player? Because he just didn't look like some of the sleek players that we saw. Everybody was basketball players at that point in time were stringy and tall. We didn't hit the weights. That wasn't something we did, but Kazzie was a real man and he played unbelievably well. And I still remember some of the things he did on the court. And it was kind of like, am I really watching this? And the answer was, yes, I was watching. he was quite remarkable.
Do you have a game or two that really stands out for
well,
you?
Well, Kazzie Russell, of course, and we went to Michigan and they absolutely killed us. But the next year, we had an upset of Michigan and they were undefeated when they came to Nebraska. I wasn't on the team at that time, but it was fun to see something like that materialize. But I think, you know, some of my favorite experience, we had incredible icons. I'm like, not just on the court. You had Hank Iba. Not a lot of people remember, but Hank Iba took these college kids for, you know, several Olympic games and periods of time. JoJo White, a bunch of guys like that out of the Big Eight at that time, and played against the professionals of the other countries. They were professionals. They said they were amateurs, but they're really they're professionals. Hank Iba was unbelievable. My story with Hank Iba has nothing to do with anything that I did really well. I was in such awe of the man that Hank Iba had this raspy voice, and he was always yelling at the players. And I remember I was guarding a guy named Hawk, who was his point guard at Oklahoma State, and Iva was yelling at Hawk, but he wasn't happy with him about something. I can't remember what it was. And my coach called timeout. And coach looked at me and he said, "Right, will you please listen to me and not Iva?" I was so taken by the fact that here was this legend that was having a chance to play on a court against his team. But
you were starstruck.
Oh, totally awestruck. I mean, you're 19, 20 years old against a legend like that? My favorite playing story is against Jim Davis and Sox Waltzoff at CU. CU had this horrible, horrible field house. They now have it next to the football stadium. It was the 2 years that CU won the Big Eight championship. So it was a good team. And we were playing at CU and doing okay. And I was fortunate enough to steal the ball and heading down the court. On a fast break, it was 3-on-1 against a guy named Jim Davis, who ended up going to the NBA. Big, tall, stringy kid. They called him the Spider at CU, I learned later. And we're on a 3-on-1 fast break, but all of a sudden I noticed the guy on my right side is missing. I can't figure out where he went. And so we split him, and the other guy and I split the Davis. We get a layup, go back, but I noticed there's only four of us on the court, and we're guarding five CU players. And what I take advantage of it very quickly. And what we didn't realize, we called timeout, is that the guy that was on the right-hand side of me going down the court fell off the court. Remember, it was a stage. We were on a stage of the field house. Courtesy of the CU students, they did a nice job of making certain he didn't get back up on the court. Yes, that kind of unnerved us a little bit that the CU students were kind of taking advantage of things like that. But anyway, it's one of my favorite memories of why I never liked the CU student fans when I was younger and we went to CU to play basketball. But that's about all I could really share in a humorous way. And still, you know,
sounds like a foul play there, maybe a little bit. I don't know if that would fly nowadays.
Good memories, and the competition, the Big Eight was terrific. And, you know, you've got the history of Boozer and Hightower. And the nice thing about it was one of the forerunners of integration in basketball and integration of sports. And in hindsight, I had no idea what was going on. But at the time, it was a forerunner in really helping integrate sports. And so I'm very proud of being a part of that.
Well, let's fast forward to today. Do you have a bracket right now? Are you watching March Madness? What does your bracket look like?
Oh, sure. I'm watching March Madness, and I've got Houston and UConn, but I'm hoping that the CU does well against Iowa. But and the beauty about sports is when you take coaches like Peyton and Ted Boyles here in Colorado, and I think also it's kind of neat to follow the personal side of things. They create young people and help them become even finer individuals. And that's the beauty of sports. And I love seeing that. And I think that to keep Caitlin Clark in mind, you know, here's a young lady, you know, you follow her, and even in her relationship with her boyfriend, it's so healthy. I mean, he is the former point guard on the University of Iowa basketball team. And the postings and the things they do, it's just a healthy thing. And you love to have the kids, you know, my grandchildren, gosh, I want them to see that and see what these young people can be. They're good students. They're good athletes. You know, it's really wonderful to see. Bias I have, and I don't mean to bore the people listening to the podcast, is that I hate to see the students not get their 4 years of education, because not many people make it to the pros, and not many people can make a living, even if they make it to the pros. And so you need that education to help you have the opportunities your talents allow you to have with regards to whatever profession you choose to go into. So if I had my way, you wouldn't have teams going into the NCAA that don't have a large number of their students have 4 years of school or have a majority of them graduate and be eligible for the team to go to the NCAA. But I don't. I don't understand it's entertainment, but I really admire the coaches around the country that help these young people get their advanced degrees. And many schools now are allowing these young people to come back and get their degrees, even if they leave early. I know Duke does that. I know Stanford does that. And I know that there are many people up at CU that get their degree, and I know that we're doing that in the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Anyway, thanks for the questions. I appreciate it.
One last question, Earl. So I know you're a big Nuggets fan.
I am.
What do you think? We're going to see a repeat this year?
The answer is yeah. I think they can, but it's dependent, and it's dependent upon their second. I don't think anybody can beat the starting lineup if they're healthy. I don't think winning is going to be dependent upon them. I think the winning is going to be dependent upon the bench. And this is just, I'm just a basketball nerd, okay? That's going to be Brown. That's going to be Jackson. That's going to be Strother. And that's going to be Nenegy and maybe Holiday and Watson. The other guy, when the second team gets out there and if they can have positive points, with the positive points, you mean, they can have more steals or score more, you know, like a plus 10 or a plus 15 in every game, the Nuggets will wipe out the competition. And the other is they've got to stop the threes. If they can stop the threes, because these guys are such good shooters, my God. I sit there and I look at it, and along with a lot of other people, the speed, the accuracy, the athletic ability of these athletes. College is good. Caitlin is wonderful to watch, but my God, people at the NBA level, it's phenomenal what they can do and athletically what they're capable of. But they're all equal except when it comes down to that second. No, they're mostly equal But when it comes to that second group that gets out there to give the first group rest, that's going to be the deciding deciders of whether the Nuggets are going to pull it off or not. So there's my opinion.
That's an interesting perspective. I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, I see that.
Well, look, I enjoy it, and thank you for asking me questions. For the podcasters that listen through all this, God love you, particularly the latter part. But going back to Caitlin, the beauty of somebody like that is to have a chance to look at the individual and feel proud to just think that, hey, as a country, we can have people like that shine and be recognized and be appreciated. And thank you for your study, Ben. It's fun to have something like this where we can understand the economics of athletic success beyond just the athlete themselves.
Well, thanks, Earl.
Thank you for listening to the Common Sense Digest. For more on today's topic, as well as our research on the most pressing public policy issues facing Colorado, please visit commonsenseinstituteco.org. The preceding episode, along with all others, is available on podcatchers everywhere or on our website under the podcast tab. Our technical producer is John Ekstrom and Deft Communications. This has been a production of the Common Sense Institute.